Good morning. Today's good daf and kedushin is ayin tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the zechem nishmas libe gavriela bashmol. We are ayin ches amud base. We're starting at the mishnah in the middle of the amud. Haomer benize mamzer. The mishnah opens up with a very interesting scenario, a little bit of drama, and the father declares the son to be a mamzer. So eino neman. The father does not have nemanus. He's not extended credibility. Vafilu shneim. And even if both mom and dad are in agreement that this child is a mamzer, sadly enough, what they're essentially saying is that both mom and dad agree that he is not the father, and that over the course of the marriage there was some other man who impregnated her. So that means that she violated the Isser of Eishes Ish. That is a chi of kares. So therefore the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. And they're both saying it. So the Mishnah, the Tanakhama's opinion in the Mishnah, thank you. Tanakhama's opinion in the Mishnah is that there is no ne'emanus. The v'yafilu shnei modem ala uber shebemeah mamzer hu einam ne'emanim. They're still not going to be believed. Okay, so the Tanakhama's opinion in the Mishnah is that the father is not given the credibility to say that his child is a mamzer. There's no other verification towards the child. There's no edim. There's no objective report. It's just a report done by the father. Even if the mother's in agreement, still there's no ne'emanus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ne'emanim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says ne'emanim, they are believed. Okay. Okay.
Both cases. Well, we'll
see. Yeah, you'll see. Okay. So Maya Filu Shnehem. Now the Mishnah, the Tanakhama's position could have been very succinctly stated, and meanwhile the Tanakhama kind of develops his idea that they're not believed, right? The Tanakhama first starts off by saying the man who says his child is a mom's is not believed. Then the Tanakhama says, and even if both of them agree, and even if both of them are talking about the fetus that's in utero, meaning why is the Mishnah embellishing the case over here? Just simply say the father's not believed, and that would be it. So Maya Filu Shneim, let me buy Kamar. So the Gemara says that really what the Mishnah is doing is ratcheting up the Chiddush. Let me buy Iuda Lo Kimle. Look, when it comes to the father, I kind of understand that the father's not going to be believed because, quite frankly, he doesn't know. Meaning he could have been the father, could not have been the father. So it could have been someone else's the father. He's not going to know for sure. So Ella Afilu Ihi De Kimla. But when it comes to the woman, the woman knows. In other words, she knows who she was with. She knows who she was wasn't. I understand. I contracted a couple of words over there. So she knows who she was not with. So la mehemna. So they therefore the. So I'm sorry. So ihi dekimla. So la mehemna. So the still, even though she has more reason to be believed because she just simply is more informed, but she's not going to be believed. And let's go even one step further. If the baby's born already, so now that baby was born with an enjoyment of chazakas kashrus, the baby is in a presumptive state of being kosher because every baby that's born has a presumptive state of being kosher. Why not? Over here, however, the Mishnah is saying, but what if they're talking about the fetus? So the fetus isn't born. The fetus does not have a cheskas kashrus. So delo mehemne ela filo ubernami delo cheskas kashrus. We're still not going to believe the parents. So the Mishnah is just simply pointing out that we are really on, according to the Tanakhama, we're really on board with this idea that the parents do not have the credibility, the sole credibility, to impugn the status of the child that is going to be born. Rav Yehuda Amar Ne'emanim. Now Rav Yehuda disagrees and he says that no, they are going to be believed. Kid Detanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. We saw this Braisa earlier in the Masechta. Yakirin al-Achirim. So when the Torah describes the Bechor, so the Torah says in the beginning of Parshas Kisetze that you have to make sure that you recognize the Bechor. The Torah usage of the word is Yakir, which means not only is the father required to recognize which one is his oldest son, even though the context of the pasuk over there is even though the older son is coming from the wife that he doesn't particularly like, but still he has to recognize the oldest son, his oldest son. So the Gemara says Yakirenu la'achirim. Rav Yehuda goes one step further in terms of how to darshan the pasuk. Not only is the father required to recognize, but also he's given credibility to tell other people who the firstborn is. Yakirenu la'achirim. Rav Yehuda neman adam lomar zebeni b'chor. So that means that the father is given given the credibility to say that this is my oldest son. Ukishem shenem on Adam Lamar Zeb ben Ibechor, kach nem on Adam Lamar Zeb ben Grusha, v'zeb ben Chalutza. So once the Torah grants credibility towards the father, so now that's it. Credibility has been granted. And both Latov and Lara, meaning once the father can say that this is my firstborn son and therefore he's entitled to Bishnayim, he also, if he is given the credibility to say that this son of mine is a Ben Grusha, meaning I'm a Kohen, his mother is a divorcee, this child's a Chalal. Or I'm a Kohen and his mother's a Chalutza, again, this child is a Chalal, although as we learned yesterday's daf, a Chalal midrabbanan, but still a Chalal. V'chachamim amar remeinu ne'eman. Now the Chachamim disagree. They say no, that we just simply disagree. We do not think that the Torah grants the father carte blanche credibility to say whatever he wants about his son. So amalei Rav Nachman Beitzchak l'Rav Abishlam l'Rav Yehuda in Siv Yakir. So the Gemara says, look, the way the Brisa is presented to us, I totally understand the opinion of Rav Yehuda as the Torah gives directive for the father to identify his son. And that means that the father can positively identify or negatively identify his son. But Ella l'Rabbanan Yakir l'Amali, but according to the Chachamim, so what is the Torah telling us when it says Yakir? So the Gemara says the Torah, according to the Chachamim, is in a very limited scenario where family is coming from overseas, new family in town, we don't know anything about this family, we don't know even who was the oldest. Under those circumstances, very limited circumstances, so dad can identify which one is his oldest son. But that's it. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, the Yakir mentioned in the Torah is not carte blanche credibility extended to the father. It's just the very limited circumstance in which dad can identify which one is his oldest. So, wait one second. So, Lamai Hilchasa, the Gemara says, now, in terms of this, the limited credibility, according to the Chachamim, Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. What difference does it make? So is it because now that the oldest son is going to be able to receive Pishnayim, the double portion that's entitled to the Bechor, Lamalikra? The Gemara says, well, if that's the entire extent of the Torah's Ne'emanus for the father, is just simply to award the Bechor, the Pishnayim, the two-time amount, so the Gemara says, okay, I don't need dad's credibility. All I need is just simply dad to gift. Meaning we're talking about money. And it's a question now of gifting. Dad can give to his son the Pishnayim right before he dies. Can't dad just simply give it to his son before he dies? Okay, so if that's all we're talking about over here, just a question of money, dad can just simply hand over the estate before he dies and give the allocation as he desires. This one, he claims it doesn't even matter whether he is or isn't. This one, who he thinks is his firstborn son, dad can give it to him. And it's not a function of credibility, it's a function of just simply, dad can give whatever money he wants to whomever he wants. So the Gemara says, you're right, but I'll tell you why we still need credibility on the part of dad. What if we're talking about monies that come after his declaration? So money that come after his declaration, meaning, let's say, after you identify this one to be the firstborn, so then after that, let's say he had a windfall after that, he had a Yerusha, whatever, he had money coming in after that. So the Gemara says, for that, the Yakir identification allows that the oldest to get the Pishnayim. So the Gemara says, Ula Rav Meir Damar Adam Akna Davish Lo Bala Olam Yakir Lamali. Now let's say we subscribe to the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that you can do a Kinyan on a Davish Olam, meaning even on a future result, a person can make a current kinyan on a future result. So that means that according to Rav Meir, there really is no need whatsoever for positive identification on the part of the father. Meaning, the father wants to give this particular son Pishnayim, and the father thinks this one's the Bechor. He is, he isn't, it doesn't matter. Meaning the father can do so. And not only the father can do that so with the current money that he has, father can do so, according to Rav Meir, on all future earnings that he's going to get as well. So now, according to Rav Meir, there simply is no need for the Torah to give this Yakir positive identification ability to the father, when the truth of the matter is the father doesn't need any kind of credibility. All the father needs is just simply, I want to give a gift to my sons. I want that one to get Pishnayim. Fine. And according to Rav Meir, I can give him Pishnayim on my current holdings, and I can give him also Pishnayim on my future holdings as well. So now the Gemara says, according to this viewpoint, according to the Chachamim, what's the need for Yakir? So the Gemara says, Lama leish enough lo kishu goseis. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to discuss a scenario in which, let's say, the windfall comes to the father while the father is in the throes of his death. So while he's a goseis. Now, Rashi over here points out, it's an interesting point, and Rashi makes it very clear. Rashi says that the Gemara over here, first of all, is not going to be talking about any monies that come after he dies. And Rashi says that, I'll tell you why, it's very simple. Because we know the halacha pishnayim, is that pishnayim, that the older son is only going to be getting two times more than the other brothers, only on the estate's current holding position. Let's say the estate has account receivables. And let's say the estate is going to be, after the death of the father, going to get money. Meaning, any account receivable is still collectible. And the estate is allowed to collect that money in the future. That it does not count it towards pishnayim. The only thing that is counted towards pishnayim is what the estate is actually holding, cash-wise, property-wise, any actual holdings at the time of death. Rashi points out, it's a Gemara elsewhere, it's based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Asher Yimatse Lo, anything that the estate currently has. So that's why the Gemara over here is not entertaining the discussion of, what if there's a windfall into the estate after the death of the father? Because then that windfall is not going to be divided up Pishnayim, but it's going to be divided up as a simple distribution, an equitable distribution amongst all the surviving children. Sons, I should say. Okay, so that's one interesting point. Goseis, Rashi points that over here. In other words, why is the Gemara giving the example of Goseis? Because when it comes to the case of Goseis, so even according to a mayor, even if you hold on the Makna Davishalah Bala Olam, I'm sorry, yeah. Even according to Rameir, a person is Makna Davishalah Bala Olam, where you can make a kinyan on a future, but not during Goseis. During Goseis, you do not have the you don't have the wherewithal, the mindset to create a kinyan even at the state of goseis, even if you instruct so beforehand. In other words, there's not going to be any kinyan while the person's a goseis. So Rashi points out, that's why the Gemara gives this example. So admittedly, it's a very limited example, but that's what the Yakir is going to do. The Yakir is going to give the father the ability to identify his firstborn son. So he's going to get pishnayim on everything, even those things that come into the estate while the father is dying. Adkan. Okay, so fundamental machlokus between the Tanakhama versus Rav Yehuda and the Mishnah. How much credibility is extended to the father? According to the Tanakhama, limited, really limited credibility to the father. Really, the only thing the father can do is identify which one's his firstborn son in the event that people don't know. Right, they moved into town, people don't know. According to Rav Yehuda, no. The Torah is giving the father full credibility over his son to identify him, both Latov and Lara, for things that are good, and also Rachman Litzlan, even to identify his son as being a mamzer. Okay. Next Mishnah. Mishnah says Rishus L'Shluch L'Kadosh Es Bito. V'halachu V'kiddusha. V'kiddusha. Mishnah over here deals with a classic Mishnah discussion of two people are set out to do one thing, and who got there first, and whose is going to be effective. So the Mishnah over here, we had almost an identical Mishnah Pesachim. Remember the case in the Mishnah Pesachim, right? They lost the Karban Pesach, and now they sent one guy to get a new Karban Pesach, and they themselves also found the Karban Pesach. Okay, so here the Mishnah, right, similar construct. So the a man has a daughter. She's a minor. She's a ketana. She's an ara, and so that means that the daughter's under his jurisdiction. The father can be mekadesh's daughter, as we've been discussing almost since day one of our mesachta. And the father also says, you know what? He turns to his shlech and he says, you know what? Do me a favor. I'm on the clock over here. My daughter's growing up. I'm not going to be able to marry off that much longer. So if you find a guy for her, I'm giving you authorization to go and be mekadesh her. Okay, so Mishnah Smashus L'Shulchan L'Kadosh Es Bito. So that's exactly where the Mishnah starts off, where a person is authorizing another person to be Mekadosh's daughter, what we would call a Shliach. V'alachu V'kiddusha V'kiddusha. And then the father finds himself with an opportunity to be Mekadosh's own daughter. Okay, so the daughter is Mekudeshes to whom? Which one of the two men? The answer is very simple. Im shall, yeah. First come, first serve. So im shalo, it's that simple. Im shalo kidmo, kiddushav kiddushin. Im shal shlucho kidmo, kiddushav kiddushin. So the answer to the question is extraordinarily simple. It's whoever got there first. Now, v'im eni yadua. Now, however, back then, communication was not as clear as it is now. And I'm not saying that communication is clear now nowadays as well. But certainly nowadays, it's a little bit easier to communicate who got there first. Now, back then, let's say they both accepted Kedushin and they have it down pretty much to the same day, pretty much to the same hour of the day. So we literally do not know, we do not know who got there first. Shneim nosdim get. So under these circumstances, now she's a suffek mikudeshes to both men. Both the one that the shlich was authorized to be mikadesh and the one that the father was mikadesh, because we simply don't know which one got there first. Imratzu echad nosdim get ve'echad kones. Now over here is a really simple solution, but I say simple though, you need both parties agreeable to the solution, and that is that one of them can provide again, the other one can marry her, and that would be a solution. It's a limited solution also. If the Kohanim, it's not going to work. But anyway, okay, either way, that's a possibility. V'chein. Now what the Mishnah is going to do is going to give us a second case, which is going to be extraordinarily similar to the first case. In fact, you know already, the Gemara is going to ask the question, why are you going to give me a second case, which is nearly identical to the first case. Let's go over the second case of the Mishnah. We're on the very top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, second line down. A woman gives authorization to a shliach to accept kedushin on her behalf. And she accepts kedushin on her behalf. Obviously, we're now talking about a woman who is a bogeris. She's an independent. She can and now receive the kedushin herself. So she authorizes the shliach to do so, and then while the shliach is en route to do so, she accepts kedushin for herself. So once again, who is the lucky man? Im shalak kidmu kiddushav kiddushim. V'im shel shlucha kidmu kiddushav kiddushim. So the answer is a very simple: whoever got the first, whoever accepted the kiddushin first. V'im eino yodim shneim nosdim laget. V'im ratzu echad nosdim laget v'echad kones. And so once again, if it's a suffix, so what they could do is either A, both give her a get, and then she'll be going on with her life. Or B, if they can be agreeable, one will give the get and the other one will marry her, and that will be the solution to the problem. Now, utzricha. So the question is obvious in the Mishnah, in that the Mishnah is repeating the same point twice over, once in the case where the father is being Mekadosh's daughter and sending out a shliach, and so now the competition is between the father and the father's shliach, and the second case of the Mishnah, she sends out a shliach, and the competition now is between her and the shliach. But in both cases, the result is the same. Whoever was accepting the kedushin first is going to be the man. If it's a suffek, they're both going to give a get. If they're agreeable, one's going to give a get and the other one's going to marry her. But really, what we just learned is the same case two times over, once with the father, once with the daughter. And again, why do I need both cases? So the Gemara right away, tzricha. We need both cases. If all I had was just simply the case of him, meaning dad. Mishum degarva kimle biyuchsin. Men, generally speaking, know yichus. We could put this Gemara together with the Gemara that we learned just a couple of days ago. Remember, the Gemara says that when women fight, so their method of attack, their point of attack is regarding arayas. But when men are fighting, so their point of attack with one another is yichus. Right? How could you say this? Do you know what lineage you come from? Okay, the Gemara is not condoning. It's just simple, the sociological reality of men know each other's yichus very well. So if the man is the one, meaning the father is the one doing the marriage to kimle biyuchsin. Aval isasa de lo kimle biyuchsin ema lo nehave kiddusha kiddushin. However, if we didn't have the second case in the Mishnah, so then I might have thought that basically when the woman is sending a shliach, and let's say the shliach she's sending is a male shliach versus herself, she will always allow the shliach to intercept her own kiddushin. Even if, this is interesting, even if, again, this is a havamina, so it's not, you know, let's not go too far with this point, but Gemara is entertaining the idea that is she, because she is not knowledgeable in yichus as much of a man, as much as a man is. So what the Gemara is entertaining is the idea that even if her kedushin came before the man's kedushin, her shliach's kedushin, I might have thought that she would allow her kedushin to still take a backseat to the man's kedushin because she doesn't know yichus as much as a man knows yichus. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. And that's why I needed the second case in the Mishnah. And then we could just simply reverse the Mishnah and argue in the other direction. So if I only had the second case in the Mishnah, where she was the one who was competing against the Shliach, we're talking about a woman who's advocating on her behalf. Your best advocate in life is going to be yourself. It's a good life lesson, and it's generally speaking true. Your best advocate for you is going to be yourself. So here we're talking about the woman accepting kedushin on her behalf. So there I would say that her kedushin is going to override the shliach's kedushin. But when we're talking about the father's kedushin, so there, maybe, I know this is going to sound a little callous on the part of the Gemara, but the Gemara is suggesting that from the father's perspective, look, it's my daughter, it's a guy with my daughter, okay, it'll work, right? Huh? Yeah, no, right, my daughter will be married. Okay, good, excellent. So the Gemara, again, it's a havamina. So the Gemara is entertaining this idea that maybe from the father's perspective, lau ichbale, so therefore tzricha, that's why I need both cases in the Mishnah, that in both cases, again, it really comes down to, or boils down to, whoever got there first. Okay. This next Gemara is going to be super interesting. We are going to get into a classic Gemara discussion. Okay, let me just introduce the next discussion. Again, information we already know already. We've gone over so many times throughout Seder Nashim, but just to appreciate, and it's important to be aware of the basics in order to really have the Gemara's appreciate the Gemara's discussion. A woman goes through three developmental stages when she grows up. She starts off as being a katana until 12 years of age. At 12 years of age, and with simanim, and with physical maturation signs, so now she becomes a nara. A nara meaning that for most halachic purposes, she's an adult. I'd say for almost all halachic purposes, she's an adult. She's 12 years of age. She has her simanim, so therefore she's an adult. However, regarding jurisdiction, in terms of marriage, she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. And during the stage of nara, she could be married off by her father. Okay, that's the second stage of her development. That's called Nara. And then, as we will see in today's daf, and we've seen it earlier throughout the Masechta, throughout Seder Nashim, the Nara stage typically only lasts for 6 months. And then, at 12 and a half years of age, she becomes now a Bogeris. As a Bogeris, she is now a full-fledged woman. Full-fledged woman, in this context, means that she is an independent. She's no longer under the jurisdiction of her father. And now she can accept Kedushin for herself. Okay. Now, what exactly is the border that crosses her from the point of being a katana to being a nara? So I already went over. So it is shanim v'simanim, years and physical sign of maturation. Then the next question is, what exactly is getting her from the point of being a nara to being a bogeris? So we say 6 months, but really when we're saying 6 months, we're saying that at the 6 month point, we are assuming that there's another level of physical maturity that she is arriving at in order to get her from the point of being a Nara to being the point of Bogeris. So the Gemara Nida, Rashi over here quotes it, and Sandaf Mem Zayin Nida, speaks in more graphic detail regarding what exactly are the physical simanim that we're looking at in terms of going from the point of Nara to the point of Bogeris. But our default assumption is, generally speaking, that at 12 and a half, meaning 6 months past the point of Nara, she's hitting this physical developmental stage of being a Bogeris. Okay. That's a general outline of what happens in terms of both her development and in terms of under whose jurisdiction she is under. With all that stated, now let us begin the Gemara's discussion. This Gemara's discussion will take us almost through the rest of today's daf. Itmar. We are on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. We're about a quarter of the way down in the Amud, and the Gemara starts off the discussion with the following: Kitcha Avia Biderech V'Kitcha Atzma Beir V'Harei Hi Bogeris. So, the father is Mekadosher while the father is en route. She accepts Kedushin while she is in the city. And the Harehi Bogeris, and lo and behold, she is a Bogeris. Let's take a look at Rashi. First of all, Rashi points out that the father and her being Mekadosher themselves on the same day. That's why the Gemara is giving the construct over here of dad's on the road and she's home. We really don't care where dad is. We really don't care where she is. It's just that we're looking for a scenario in which they don't know what each other's doing right now. That's why we're just simply we're splitting them up right now, just so that we will have the scenario of, you know, the both of them being Mekadosh on the very same day. Rashi, Harei Bogeris Lefanenu. No, Harehi Bogeris. Sorry, Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Right, but Kuna Ladas im Yotzim Rishos Av Lios Kedusha Kedushin Umatzenu Bogeris Bobayom. She turns out to be a Bogeris that very day. Okay. Now, generally speaking, again, without my introduction, without my short introduction, the Rashi would be very difficult to understand. Meaning, she turns to be a Bogeris that day. You don't. What does that mean? You turn into a Bogeris on one given day? So the answer is yeah, correct. Meaning that, as we discussed, when she turns 12 years of age and she has the basic physical maturation of Shtei Saros, she's an Ara. Then, typically 6 months later, then she turns into a Bogeris. But again, the 6 months is really speaking more to, there's an assumed physical maturity point that's going to be reached at the six-month mark. So if it's discovered... Again, there's the indelicate portion of who discovers it and how it's discovered and, you know, what to look for. But let's right now, it's so simple to keep it in the form of just basic, you know, a basic analytical discussion that if it's discovered at 12 and a half years of age that she's a Bulgarian, so on that very day now, she leaves the jurisdiction of her father and she enters into her own independent world.
Beyond 6 months.
The Gemara for a moment is going to entertain that it could be delayed. The Gemara is going to reject that notion. The Gemara says that once she starts Nara, Bogeris will happen 6 months later. Okay, the Gemara is working with that assumption. Yes.
So what's the caution there? She enters Bogeris for...
Good. Excellent. So the Gemara is going to pinpoint all this. Varei Bogeris. And now she turns out to be a Bogeris. So now... On this single day, on this very significant day, where she is turning from being a Nara to being a Bogeris, so she accepted Kedushin on her behalf, and Dad accepted Kedushin on her behalf, and all this occurred on the same day. Rav Amar Harei Bogeris Lefanenu. So Rav says, right now, she is a Bogeris. Danny, you and Rav are basically soulmates on this issue. Rav says, right now, she's a Bogeris, so I'm telling you that she is the one who is accepting Kedushin on her behalf, and there is nothing more to talk about. Shmuel Amar Chayshin LeKedusha Shneim. Now Shmuel says, no, I'm concerned of the Kedusha Shneim. Now, let's first read a little bit of Gemara, and then we'll explain this more abstractly, more analytically. Amos. The Gemara says, now let's just pinpoint exactly what is going on over here in terms of time. Elam of Esoch Shisha. So the Gemara says that we're talking about within 6 months. Now, I already gave away the answer by telling you that it occurred on her 12 and a half birthday, but the Gemara is right now stumbling to get to that point. So if we're talking about where it's Besoch Shisha, which is within 6 months, meaning sometime between 12 and 12 and a half years of age, Bahaneim Arav, Harei Bogeris Lefanenu. So the Gemara says, now, from Rav's perspective, it's not a fair assumption. Well, if she's a Bogeris right now, she must have been a Bogeris earlier today. That's not a fair assumption. Hashu debagra. I would say no. It's before 12 and a half. We didn't expect her Bogeris to come earlier. And now it's here. But now it's here. I'm not going to say it came any earlier than the point of discovery.
If Bogeris is a function of time, how would it come earlier?
So that's what I'm saying. Bogeris is not a function of time. Bogeris is a function of certain physical maturity points. The Gemara Nida describes. Again, I don't want to get too graphic. But the Gemara Nida describes that there are actual physical maturity points. We just generally assume that they're coming 6 months after she turns into a Nara. So the Gemara now is saying that if there is a discovery of these physical developmental stages coming even before 12 and a half years of age, Rav would not say, oh, well, they must have come earlier. No, we didn't expect them to come at this point in time. We're certainly not going to expect them to come any earlier. So the Gemara says, well, must be then it was after she was 12 and a half. The Gemara says, Bahaneim Ashmol, Chayshin L'Kiddush Shneim. So the Gemara says, and this Hedi is where the Gemara now is entertaining the idea that maybe Bagris is coming after 12 and a half. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. Shmuel himself was the one who said, Vahamar Shmuel, Ein Beinaris Labagris, El Shisha Chadashim Bilvad. Shmuel's of the opinion that the only time lapse between Nagras and Bagras is only going to be 6 months. And Rashi says that the key words over here is Ella Shisha Chadash and Bavad, meaning there is never a scenario in which once you see Nagras being developed, so then the Bagras is only going to be 6 months behind it. All right, then within the next 6 months, she's going to hit the point of being a Bogeris. So after that point in time, Shmuel will never entertain the idea, well, maybe her Bagras is delayed. No, Bagras is always going to come 6 months after Naris, and no greater than 6 months. So the Gemara says, well, Tzricha Dekadosh Bahu Yuma, Demashlam Shisha. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So the case in question over here is where she accepted Kiddushin on her half-year birthday. She is now exactly 12 and a half years of age. And at 12, she was an Ara. In other words, she had the Shanim, she had the Simanim. And now, she is today 12 and a half years of age. Okay. And she accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. Now, on this fateful day, she accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. Her father accepted Kiddushin on her behalf. And it all occurred on the same day. And now, here we go with the classic question. Okay, so now before we go any further, so let us go, let me just set it up so that the rest of the Gemara is going to be relatively easy. Generally speaking, in Halacha, what do we know? We work with Chazaka. Chazaka is the general presumptive state of being. But sometimes, however, chazakas are in competition with one another. Okay, so for example, and I'm just going to use an example that we're going to be speaking about later this morning. So, and it's a classic example, and the Gemara has discussed this before, and we've discussed this before. So for example, I jump into a mikvah. The mikvah was measured, right, a month ago, 6 months ago, and the mikvah is a kosher mikvah. Okay, and as I come out of the mikvah, now I notice, wait 1 second, that mikvah looks a little bit low. And the mikvah now is measured, and the mikvah is chaser, and the mikvah is missing. So at one point in time, the mikvah was kosher. Now I'm looking at the mikvah, and the mikvah is chaser, and the mikvah is not kosher. I have two competing chazakas. One chazaka told me that a month ago, the mikvah was measured. Check. So in other words, that's a chazaka mi'ikara. The original chazaka told me that the mikvah is fine. However, right now, the mikvah has been checked, and the mikvah is not good. So that's a chazaka dahashta. So I have now basically two chazakas running into each other. The chazaka mikara, which tells me that was good. The chazaka dahashta tells me it's not good. Which chazaka is going to take precedence over which? Okay, I leave that question open-ended, because you basically will see over the course of the remainder of today's daf that that's exactly what is going on over here. Meaning that's the question in the hand. When I have a chazaka mikar versus a chazaka dahashta, which chazaka is going to beat the other in terms of any time in between? Let's now talk about our young woman. Our young woman today turns into a bogeris. So now, prior to today, her chazaka was being a nara. From the time of bedikah going forward, her now chazaka is that she's a bogeris. But she accepted Kiddushin sometime earlier today. So do I work with a chazaka mikara, or do I work with a chazaka dahashta? So the Gemara says, that is essentially now the question, and the machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. So let's see both positions, as if both positions are going to be laid out. Rav Amar, we're in the, right in the middle of the Amud. Rav Amar hare bogeres lefaneinu. So right, and when you read the Gemara and you read the language of the Gemara, the language is really sharp. It's really clear in terms of what is at the core issue over here. Rav says, "Hare bogeres lefaneinu." Right now, she's a bogeres, meaning chazaka dahashta. We look at the right here and right now. Right now, she's a bogeres. So I'm going to assume earlier today she also was a bogeres. Midahashta bogeres, but safra nami bogeres. Since now she was a bogeres, well, earlier today when she accepted the kedushin, I'm also going to assume that she's a bogeres. Ushmul amar hashtahu da isis simanim, and Shmuel will tell you no. That yes, after she accepted the kedushin later that day, she was examined, and yes, It turns out that her simani bagrus did in fact come. But I would make the argument, says Shmuel, that the simani bagrus came only right now. And any time before this, her chazaka demi kara of being a nara is really what she was, and therefore the kedushin is not, her kedushin is not going to be valid. Her father's kedushin is going to supersede her kedushin because she was a nara at the time. Okay, so what we have over here is really just a basic machlokas in terms of which chazaka is going to override which. Is it the chazaka mehashta, which is going to bump the chazaka mekara, or the chazaka mekara, which is going to bump the chazaka mehashta? And now that we're here, so now we get into all the classic discussions the Gemara has whenever it has this discussion of which chazaka is going to bump which. Maishami mikvah. So we start off with the Gemara turning to the case of mikvah. Ditnan. The Mishnah over here quotes the Mishnah. Sorry. The Gemara over here quotes the Mishnah. Mikvah shenimda v'nimsa chaser. So the case is, should sound familiar because this is the example I gave a little bit earlier. The mikvah was measured. And it turns out that now the mikvah is chaser. Now, that's the basic nature of a pool. The basic nature of the pool is, unless there is rain, and unless there's a collected rain, and unless there's more rainwater, the water is going to evaporate. And the mikvah is going to diminish. When did that happen? So the Mishnah tells us that at one point the mikvah checked out. Right now the mikvah is lacking. It's chaser. So I'm going to say that any time between the last time we checked and right now, anything that I told them in the mikvah is still going to be tamei, and we're going to have to tell them the mikvah again. Which one? The chazaka dehashta or the chazaka miikara? So in the case of the mikvah, the chazaka dehashta won and it beat out the chazaka miikara. The mikvah currently is no good, and I'm going to take that status and I'm going to move it back to the last time that it was checked. Okay. Now this is good for Rav. Difficult for Shmuel. Because what essentially the Gemara is saying, no, other way around. Thank you. Okay.
Huh?
Okay. Wait. You've done this Gemara before. You're remembering, which is good. That's what's supposed to happen. Okay. Good. So the but right now, okay. I'm sorry. Let me say it correctly. So this works out good for Shmuel. This is bad against Rav because this is basically telling us that the Chazaka Mihashta is going to override the Chazaka Mikara. So if you're Rav, what are you going to say? So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, Diklamim Rahem Tameh Cheskaso, Ve'emar Lo Tavo. So the Gemara says, okay, but who jumped into the mikvah? Somebody who's Tameh. So I'll tell you that he also has a chazaka. What's his chazaka? His chazaka is that he was Tameh. So the Gemara says, Adrabah, Hem in mikvah Cheskaso, Ve'emar Lo Chaser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but against that is the idea that the mikvah at one point in time was good. We know the mikvah historically was good. So I'll tell you that this tummy person jumped into a kosher mikvah. So the Gemara says, okay, but right now, is the mikvah good or not good? Right now, the mikvah is not good. So the Gemara says, hachanami, harei bogeres lefanecha. Okay, well, if your question that you're asking is narrowed down to right now, so I'm going to ask you right now, this woman, is she a Nara or is she Bogeris? Right now she's Bogeris. So I'll say to you, earlier today, she was also Bogeris. Hashu Debagra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll argue. Yeah, but you know, I know that she wasn't a Bogeris 6 months ago. In fact, 6 months ago she was a Nara. And I know she's turning into a Bogeris, so I'll make the argument that she only became a Bogeris a moment before the Bedika. So the Gemara says, Hasanami, Hashu Debagra, Hasamnami, Hashtahu Dechaser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by the mikvah, you want to make that argument, so then let's extend that argument to the mikvah. The mikvah is diminished, I know. But maybe that came right before we did the Bedika. So the Gemara says, Hasam Tartal Riyusa, Hachachad Riyusa. So the Gemara says, okay, but we'll end the discussion with the following point, which is, in the case of the mikvah, it's two strikes. Strike number one, the mikvah currently is no good. It's diminished. Strike number two, who toveled themselves in the mikvah? Someone who has a chazaka of being tameh. So that's strike one and strike two. In this discussion, that's all you need in order to be out. Meaning, those are already two strikes against you. When it comes to the woman becoming a bogeres, there really is only one issue. I know that she was an Ara yesterday. She was an Ara a month ago. Oh, that's true. But right now, she's a Bogeris. So, as opposed to the case of the mikvah, where right now the mikvah is currently diminished, and which wins into the mikvah's tameh, that's two strikes. Over here, when it comes to the woman, so there really is only one basic issue. Yes?
What can we say, the fact that she picked herself the husband supersedes the fact that her father picked her husband?
No, but the Gemara, all that's well and good, but it's really the core issue is jurisdiction, meaning who has the right to be Mekadisha. It's not her versus father, a dad, in terms of who's doing the picking. It's who can do the picking.
But she could always say no.
Not when she's an Ara, not when she's a Katana. She's under the jurisdiction of the father. Father can accept Kedusha on her behalf. Now, Ushmu Maishna Mechavis. Okay, so we went to the case of mikvah. We analyzed the case of the mikvah. There's a basic difference between the case of the mikvah and our case over here. And so now we turn the discussion to the next classic part of this discussion, meaning whenever the Gemara has this discussion of Chazaka Mahashta versus Chazaka Mikara, so these are the cases that the Gemara typically goes over. And now we're going over the case of the Chavis, the case of the barrel. The Italian of the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, and the case of the barrel goes as follows. Haya bodik as chavis lahafish ala truma. Barrel had wine in it. Now, wine, as my understanding goes, sours and turns into vinegar. And so the basic issue is as follows: I have wine right over here, and what I'd like to do is be mafish trumas amaisos on this wine. Now the halacha is that when you're mafish trumas amaisos, you have to be mafish like onto like, meaning that I can only be mafish wine on wine, but not wine on vinegar, even though they are the same thing, but they're not. Right? Vinegar and wine are two different things. Vinegar is going on your salad. Wine, you're gonna imbibe. They're different. So when you're being mafish from a maestros, you have to be mafish wine onto wine. So you went to this barrel, which you knew was wine. You're, in other words, you made the wine. You knew this barrel was wine, and hayabodek as a chavis lahafish ala truma vaholech v'achar kach nimseis chometz. So you did an examination on the barrel, and you did a little taste, and you discovered that it was wine, and no, you didn't discover. You examined it earlier, and you knew it was wine, and then at a later point in time, it soured and became vinegar. So once again, we're now having the same classic discussion. When did it make the change from wine to vinegar? And now that I was mafresh onto this barrel, was my hafrasha a good hafrasha or not? Well, if it was wine, then the hafrasha was good. And if it's vinegar, the hafrasha is not good. And I don't know when it made the change. So kol gemo yamen vadai mikana elech safek. So here, there is a little cushion of 3 days. So for 3 days, you can safely say that it was wine. Any point after 3 days, I don't know whether it was wine or whether it was vinegar. So all we have over here is a 3-day cushion, but after that. Now on this 3-day cushion, Rashi points out, the Amoraim in the Gemara and Baba Basra have a discussion, exactly the 3-day cushion. Is that from the last examination, or is that from the discovery that this is vinegar? Okay, I don't want to belabor that point, because it really doesn't. It doesn't help us in terms of what the core issue over here is. The core issue over here is, again, which chazaka is going to beat which chazaka. I know this was wine. It's now vinegar. The chazaka mehashta tells me that, I'm sorry, chazaka meikar tells me it was wine. The chazaka dahashta is telling me it's now vinegar. Which is going to win? And now when I was mafish shuma onto the barrel of wine, so, and I was, and obviously, and I was taking off wine onto this barrel of wine. So, was the hafrasha a good hafrasha? Yes or no? Okay. So, mikan ve'elech safek. Those are the key words at the end of the braisa. Meaning, after the 3-day cushion, after that point in time, the answer is, I don't know. That's the answer. The answer is, it's a state of safek. Now, the Gemara says, now, v'ramin chavis ha-mikvah. Now, if you think about it, the case of the mikvah and the case of the barrel are right now competing with one another. Because what do we say in the case of the mikvah? That any time between when we knew it was good versus when we knew it was bad, we said anything tovel in the mikvah is tameh. In the case of the barrel, we're saying that any time between when we knew it was wine and we now know it's vinegar, we say suffik. So the Gemara says those two cases aren't in agreement with one another. So the Gemara is very mina chavas on mikvah. Ma'ishan dahacha vade, ma'ishan dahacha safek. Va'am Rav Chanina misuria mantana chavas. Rabbi Shimon he. So the Gemara says, well, in terms of that issue, the Gemara says we can iron out that issue with the following: the author of the case of chavas is Rabbi Shimon, and now that you know that, now we're going to learn together that in the case of mikvah, Rabbi Shimon is also going to say safek. No, the Gambi mikvah namis feka mashvi the time the Gemara here quotes the brisa. Kol ta'ar shenasu agabav lamafer ebeim v'shus yachib ebeim v'shus rabim to meos. That is the Tanakhama's opinion, which we already are exposed to. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer be rishus rabim taharos in rishus rabim it's tahor because we know safek tuma be rishus rabim is tahor and rishus yachid tolin. And now, if this was to take place in rishus yachid, we are in suspension. Meaning, suffix. Now it works out that according to Rabbi Shimon, in both cases of the mikvah and the case of the chavis, the conclusion is suffix. The competing chazakas, the chazaka da hashta versus the chazaka mikara, are basically going to create a suffix. Avalira banan tevel amafreya. Now, but according to the chachamim, it's tevel amafreya. Meaning that we are going to take the current status, and we're going to say that whatever the current status is, that is going to be true historically. So the Gemara says, why should that be? According to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Dikla Meimar Hema Tevel Cheska. So Ve'emar Lo Nitkan. So the Gemara says, yeah, because remember, we're starting off with Tevel, meaning we are only now being mafresh on the barrel. So that means that what we currently have in front of us is Tevel. So the presumptive state of the Tevel is that it's no good. Adarabah Hema Yana Cheska. So Ve'emar Lo Hichmis. The Gemara says, yeah, but we also knew that this barrel was once wine. Hare Hichmis Lefanecha. The Gemara says, yeah, but look at it right now. Right now it's vinegar. Hachanami Hareu Bogeris Lefanenu. So the Gemara says, well, look at the woman right now. She's a Bogaris. Hashu hu de Bagra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you that she only just turned into a Bogaris. So the Gemara says, Nami hashu hu de Achmis. So the Gemara says, well, I'll say the same thing regarding the wine. Only right now, the moment before Bedika, did it turn into vinegar. Hasam tarta l'riyusa, hachachata l'riyusa. And again, the Gemara says, but we can end the entire discussion by simply saying that, look, in the case of the barrel, so we have two strikes going against us. Number one, it's currently vinegar. Number two, what I'm trying to be mafresh is currently tevel. So I have two strikes going against me telling me that at one point in time it was wine. Masha Ein came with the Bogeris. There's only one fundamental question. The Chazaka Mehashta told the Chazaka Mikara told me she was an Ara. The Chazaka Mehashta tells me she's a Bogeris. But right now she's a Bogeris. But she was a week ago, a day ago, she was an Ara. So that's the only issue. And that's why the case of the barrel, as is the case of the mikvah, is going to be different than the case of the Bogeris. Okay, let's just quickly summarize. And tomorrow we will finish up this discussion of the Gemara. Okay, we did the short sugya on Ayin Chesamid Beis regarding Ne'manus. Machlokas Tanakama Rav Yehuda, whether father has full Ne'manus. Rav Yehuda says yes, based on the pasuk of Yakir. Chachamim say no. For the Chachamim, the only thing that the father is believed is to say which one of his sons is Bechor. And the Gemara explains why we even need that. Can't he just simply give the money to whoever he wants? Gemara gave a very limited scenario where he can't, when he's a Goses. Okay. And then the next Mishnah started the discussion about two people accepting Kedushin. The case number one is where the father was competing against the shliach that he set up. Case number two is where she, when she's a Bogeris, is competing against the shliach that she set up. Whoever got there first is going to be the one accepting the Kedushin. If we don't know, then it's a suffix, and then they both are going to give her a get. And then the big discussion that we had over the course of today and today's daf is going to be when she accepts Kedushin and her father accepts Kedushin on the day that she presumably now changed from being a Nara to being a Bogeris. And whose Kedushin is going to win, and it's really a function of the question of which Chazaka is going to beat which. Meaning, she is now Bogeris, yesterday she was an Ara, so at what point did the change make? Did that change occur? Did it occur based on the previous chazaka, or is it based on the current chazaka? And then the Gemara launched into the discussion of, we find other places throughout Shas where seemingly we're going to favor the chazaka, the hashta over the chazaka meikara, but we find it in the case of mikvah, we find it in the case of hafreshes truma with a barrel of wine that turned into vinegar. In both of those cases, the chazaka, the hashta, is going to trump the chazaka meikara, but the Gemara points out, both of those cases is different because you have two strikes are going against you in both of those cases. In the case of the Bogeris, that's not true. And so right now, the Gemara is leaving us off with a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in terms of which one we're going to favor. Tomorrow we'll discuss more. We'll conclude tomorrow in terms
Did
of...
we say that Bogeris is automatic if you don't do a bedika? That's 12 and a half.
Right, but the question...
Why don't we say that mixes a Yom Kippur or that?
Okay.